Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to violence.
Welcome to Lost in the Static.
Yes, and I didn't blast your ears off this time, Josh. What do you think of that?
I think I'm only getting you out of my fucking right side.
Well, that's your headset. That's not.
Damn it.
And actually, it's starting to mine. These are about the same age because it's starting to hit mine as well.
It's like, but son of a butthole.
That's life. As long as I can hear me, and I've got, you know,
we can see the level.
We can see the levels. That's what matters.
All right. Now, tonight, we're going to talk about not so much banning things, but the manufactured controversies of our lifetimes. Does that make sense, the way I put it? Because in a lot of cases, these things didn't get banned, but they were controversial. And even then, we said, really? This is controversial? And for our younger listeners, they're going to go, how the fuck was that controversial back in 90 or whatever year?
Well, I remember my college bookstore down in Muncie had this one section, and it was just, it was the banned section. It goes, these books have been banned by various high school districts, and it would, and you would get the book, and then you would get which high school banned it and why.
Okay.
And they were usually, you know, classic books and stuff like that. It had a small banned music section as well, and yes, they stocked Two Live Crew, which
we'll
get there. But you know, and it, yeah, it had this section of, hey, here's all your banned media that when you were in high school you couldn't buy, and now you can buy it because you're in.
And this stuff went into every genre. You had movies that were controversial, TV shows, comic books,
oh, yeah,
albums,
oh, yeah,
novels, video games. I mean, it ran the gamut. They didn't pick and choose when they said, this should not be seen by the general public. And a lot of these, the reason I use the term manufactured controversy is there was no reason for them. There was no reason for this. Did Barbara Bush really think people would stop watching The Simpsons when she started fighting with Bart Simpson? A fictional character, I may add.
I don't know.
Did you ever see those great ads that somebody took out in, I think, Variety, of letters to Barbara Bush from Marge Simpson? It was somebody on The Simpsons staff that was, and then Barbara Bush would respond to them. So she was having a fight publicly with a fictional character.
And I was going to say, I think Groening even.
It might have been Groening or Sam Simon or some, one of the other showrunners.
Or Brooks,
at that point.
Or, yeah, James L. Brooks, somebody. But if I remember, I remember Groening holding a press conference.
Right. And for those that don't remember what the controversy was, Barbara Bush was saying something like, we need families that are more like the Waltons and less like the Simpsons. So, of course, the Simpsons producers went, man, there's a great, we can stir the shit up here.
There's like eight
episodes. So they responded.
Right there. Oh, yeah.
So they responded to that. And then she was responding to them. And Barbara, Marge Simpson isn't real. She's not. The Simpsons are not a real family, and guess what? Neither are the Waltons.
I just thought it was hilarious that we went from Nancy Reagan, and I'm sure it hit you at the same time. Did you ever get one of the green T-shirts with the big "Just Say No" on it?
I never got a T-shirt for about that.
No. Oh, I did. We had a big assembly at my school, and
I remember the "Just Say No" campaign.
Yeah, some big mucky muck showed up, and we got these. They were bright green T-shirts with big white lettering. If you can imagine like a Frankie Says Relax shirt in that kind of a color
style.
Scheme.
I think I've seen those now that you mention it, but I never had one.
Yeah, we had one. And in fact, I think my mom still has mine somewhere. But anyway, so we went from "Just Say No" from Nancy Reagan. Okay. That's kind of a message that every parent can get behind, really. I mean, whether you agree with Reagan's or not, keep kids off drugs.
And is, in all honesty, that was damn more effective than crack is whack. Or Pee Wee Herman, this is crack. Remember that one?
Yes, I do. But nonetheless, we go from Just Say No into Barbara Bush. And Barbara Bush took up the mantle that Tipper Gore tried to take up too.
We'll be talking about Tipper Gore in
a little bit. We'll get there to Tipper Gore. But it was the clean up the media and we'll clean up America type.
Which is so delusional.
As long as we hide this stuff and nobody pays attention
As long as those rotten, evil homosexuals stay underground, homosexuality is not a problem.
If all you can watch is Leave It to Beaver, then your world will eventually end up exactly like that of Leave It to Beaver. That was the thinking.
Yeah.
Or Andy Griffith's show, like we'll all be barefoot with our fishing poles, whistling. Yeah.
As long as you're white and Christian and male.
Well, that's the thing. If they don't put black people in the media, black people cease to exist.
Because that works.
That was the thinking behind it, I think. I don't know.
But, I mean, just to think, and then that wasn't the only Simpsons controversy.
Oh, God, no.
Because, and I actually think it was George Bush. I might be wrong on that one. My memory might be playing tricks on me with that. But Bart's underachiever and proud of it became a controversial slogan. Schools were banning kids wearing that T-shirt. You were not allowed to wear that T-shirt in schools because that's making fun of bad grades. That's right. Saying I'm proud of sucking. Yeah. No, we can't do that. Bart Simpson's a bad role model. First of all, he was not a role model.
Right. Well, underachiever and proud of it. Let's see here. Eat My Shorts stuff got banned at my school. Until you got into high school. I got into middle school or high school and everything changed because my school was like, you know all those rules at the other schools?
Fuck it.
Fuck them. We don't need them.
But, I mean, the fact that a cartoon character could generate such amounts of controversy unnecessarily, because really, was the kid wearing... This is the ironic part. The kids that were wearing the underachiever and proud of it shirts, which were expensive, were the kids who usually did well.
Right.
They were just... That was their way to rebel. Yeah. And you tried to take that away from them.
Exactly.
Would you rather them actually start ditching the tests or wear the fucking Bart Simpson T-shirt?
Exactly. And I don't know. It was... I haven't the faintest idea. But you
also had the idiotic... you remember the Murphy Brown controversy during the 92 election?
God, refresh my memory on that one.
Because Murphy Brown was a professional woman. By the way, again, fictional character, which the Republicans didn't seem to get. Because Murphy Brown was a professional woman, and she chose to have a baby without having a husband.
Yes.
Dan Quayle, that enlightened soul himself, Dan Quayle, called her out on that and said she's a bad role model for women in the 90s. So, of course, the Murphy Brown show then became controversial. And you know what that controversy did? Made the ratings go up.
Yep.
So I just don't understand why the Republicans in the 90s kept picking fights with fictional characters. I didn't get that.
Well, again, it was clean up the media and you'll clean up America. That was the thought behind it. And
have been different if they'd attacked Candace Bergen, but they attacked the character, not the actress.
Well, if you attack the character and not the actress, then if the actress is a Republican, she can still give you lots of money.
I'm just saying it would have made more sense because it really wouldn't have been a controversy if they'd been attacking Candace Bergen because she could have always played it off. This is what the network wants.
But
they attacked the fucking character.
Or I would have gone after the writers of the show, you know. And, like, these guys are holding this up as something good. It is not. But who knows?
Sorry, I was getting something to drink.
That's okay. I'm trying to think of, you know, but other things, you know, schools banned stuff for the weirdest things. For instance, for the longest time, Tom Sawyer and Huck Finn have both been banned at many, many high schools in the U.S.,
far more than that, but yeah, I mean, far more books than that, but those two are two particular
examples. But those are two particular ones that pretty much every high school you walk into, they're going to be banned in, and they're going to be off the reading list, and they're not going to be available in the library. But it's, and it's, you know, the most recently it was because of the word nigger.
Slave.
And that was, and they changed it to slave. Although I do stand behind the book that changed it to robot and changed all the illustrations so that Jim was actually a robot. Yeah. I was like, yes.
We just retro sci-fied this bitch.
Exactly. But, you know, I mean, that's just the most recent one. One of the high schools in Muncie, Central High School, banned both Tom Sawyer and Huck Finn because they encouraged the skipping of school and they made it seem like an education was unimportant. That was their reason for banning them.
But schools banned ridiculous books, like Tech War. There were schools that banned the ghost-written William Shatner Tech War.
Yeah, it encouraged the use of drugs.
And it's like, for those that aren't familiar, tech is basically like virtual reality crack, if that makes any sense for those. I've only seen the TV show. I haven't read the books, but in the TV show, that's what it was. I'm assuming the books are relatively the same thing with tech. And, you know, you had backroom tech dealers, and, you know, the guy that opened his jacket and he had all these implants. Hey, man, you want to buy some tech? And, yeah. But there were people banning Tech War. Like, really?
William Gibson.
Well, a lot of William Gibson stuff.
A lot of his stuff.
George Orwell.
George Orwell.
Animal Farm and 1984 were banned in numerous schools. 1984 being particularly ironic to ban when it's all about controlling the language and what people
read. See, I find it funny because I had to read both of them in high school.
And I remember Brave New World. When our teacher made us read Brave New World, there was a big controversy about that. And I'm like, what the fuck? What is your problem, people? So you had schools that banned this stuff. I mean, I got in trouble for wearing a Cry for Dawn t-shirt once. It was a picture of Dawn drawn by Joseph Michael Linsner, and she was naked with a demon's hand coming up, covering her crotch, and fog covering her nipples. So technically, there was no nudity. And that's what my argument was, even when my mom went to bat for me. How can you ban this? There's no nudity. It's no different than someone wearing a Samantha Fox t-shirt. You know? It shows no more. And the school kind of... And then let me get away with it. Because they...
The one,
bitch.
You know, the one that I love, this was a case at Muncie Southside. Again, my high school didn't ban shit. They were like, you're reading?
Yeah, but I was good. In public school.
I know. But public schools... And when we talk about banning, I should point this out to our friends over in England. It's not like banning over there where the A Clockwork Orange, famously, for years and years and
years.
I
spit on your grave in Texas
banned.
Chainsaw Massacre. Yeah, same thing.
Exactly. Just you can't find them.
We are talking about from an American perspective.
We're talking about, instead of the government doing this, local school districts doing this. Nation,
local governments.
Local governments could do it. If a national school organization, like teachers' unions and stuff like that, if they agreed upon something, then it could be banned from all schools that were part of that union and stuff like that. It's not the federal government isn't coming down on this stuff, although they do on occasion.
But it's a lot of local governments, and it happened with a lot of books, but it really, in our lifetime, was about music. I mean, we'll talk about movies in a little bit, but it was really about music. Like, I pointed out in my recent Sanity article, that Cannibal Corpse Butchered at Birth album. It wasn't banned for the lyrics, wasn't banned for the band, the cover art. The cover art was so offensive, which shows a couple of zombies chopping up little baby corpses on, like, a conveyor belt.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is. Is it gory? Yeah. Is it bad taste? Yeah. Is it offensive? Not really.
Depends on who you are.
But to ban it.
Yeah, no.
That was ridiculous. And one of our listeners pointed out about that album. It's funny. He went and bought that recently.
Mm-hmm.
And no one carded him or anything. So how times have changed for that kind of thing.
Well, another one that comes to my mind was Jane's Addiction.
Yeah.
Ritual de lo Habitual.
Thank you. I can't remember what fucking album it was.
It's because I've got an original cover of that one.
Well, you had a whole bunch of that. I mean, even going back to that fucking Poison open up and say ah cover with the huge long tongue and the chick dude with the stripes on the face.
And the Rolling Stones, I think it was Rolling Stones. Wait, who did the album Virgin?
It might have been Stones.
Was it?
It might have been. I don't remember off the top of my head.
I don't remember. But no. Rolling Stones had the one that it was the jacket. It was the record jacket that it opened up.
That was
the fly.
A pair of jeans.
Yeah, it opened up at the fly.
Yeah,
that was banned. And then whoever did the album Virgin, and I'm sorry, I can't remember this, but it was a picture of a nude little girl. And then it looked like they had glass cracks that were...
Scorpions.
Scorpions, thank you.
The new little girl was Scorpions.
Yes.
And then you also had a weird kind of in-house music censorship as well, which was called Walmart.
Oh, God, yeah.
Because now, a lot of you are probably going to go, especially if you're younger, you're going to go, people buy their music from Walmart?
They did.
Now, you have to remember, this is pre-internet, and in a lot of communities... Walmart was the only place you could go to get these kind of things other than a mail order catalog.
And it's not even necessarily pre-internet. It's pre-fast enough to make trading music truly viable internet. So.
Right. And so their In Utero album had a song. No, it wasn't In Utero. It was the second album that had a song called Rape Me on it.
Never mind.
Was that the name of the first
one? Rape Me on Nevermind. Nevermind was the one with the swimming naked baby after the dollar.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not a Nirvana fan. But anyway. They had a song on it called Rape Me. Well, Walmart refused to stock that. And you've got to remember, this is the early 90s. Walmart is still a huge retailer at this point. Record companies basically said, if we don't get Walmart, this does not go platinum.
It was not uncommon for record companies to actually cut two different albums, a Walmart version and a non-Walmart version.
Right. And so they had to change Rape Me to Waif Me, which makes no sense at all, on the Walmart version.
Mm-hmm.
And they also did the same thing. They refused to carry Alanis Morissette's Jagged Little Pill album. The entire album you could not buy at a Walmart for the longest time. Mm-hmm. Why? She had a song on it criticizing Walmart.
Yep.
So, no, we're not going to carry that. It's not, she doesn't swear, she doesn't do anything like that, but she makes fun of us, so we're mm-hmm. not going to carry her. Which technically is their prerogative. But the censorship angle and the controversy comes in when her record company said, we want to take that song off the album that gets sold at Walmart, then Walmart's okay with it. And she's, fuck you!
Yeah.
You don't put a fucking cut version of my album out there? When I didn't do anything? Fuck that. No. And then you had probably the two biggest, which were both black people in different genres. You had Ice-T's heavy metal band Body Count
yep.
and their album Cop Killer.
Yep.
Which I have an original cassette and a CD of that I bought new. So I did not buy it because of the controversy. I bought those pre-controversy, actually, because I saw Body Count on Headbangers Ball doing a couple of live shows before their album came out, and I thought, shit, I actually kind of like this. So
yeah.
I pre-ordered the album. And for those that don't remember, the song Cop Killer, clearly about killing cops,
yep.
was singled out by the NRA, the Los Angeles Police Officers Association, New York City Police Officers Association, and even George Bush himself. And they said this is offensive to sing about killing police officers and making the character that's killing cops a hero.
Yeah.
And you got to remember, this is right around Rodney King and all this kind of stuff.
Just before.
Yeah, but as I said, right around.
Yeah, just before.
And... the controversy was all these places were burning it. They were burning the Body Count album, which is why finding the Cop Killer versions is kind of rare today, because all the ones that got pressed went up in smoke. And you had Charlton Heston as president of the NRA at that time coming out against it and saying that it's just vile and disgusting. And ironically enough, an episode of the new WKRP in Cincinnati tackled the issue perfectly. Where they had a very Rush Limbaugh-style host that all the liberals were wanting banned, and then they countered by playing Cop Killer on WKRP in Cincinnati, saying, how can you call for How can you say that this is free speech, but this is not? And then they had real-life police officers playing themselves on the episode talking about, well, we want this song is offensive to us. And they're like, but you like the Rush Limbaugh show, which is offensive to those who make this kind of music. And it was a brilliant dichotomy of those two things were happening at the same time. It was showing just how ridiculous censorship is.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was the cop killer thing. And then there was probably the even bigger one. And that was Two Live Crew.
Ah, yes. Which, by the way, I had that album. Most of my friends had that album.
It was a shit album, but well, I'm not a rap fan.
It was terrible. You know what's hilarious? Well, even if you are a rap fan, it was a terrible album. But what's really hilarious was, since they didn't, again, my high school didn't ban it, and they sold it in the bookstore, you know, in the college where my high school was. And they sold it for like $20, something like that.
That's what a CD went for back then.
Yeah, well, it still goes for.
Well, I'm just saying that's not exorbitant for that time.
Right. So my friends and I would go, and we would buy up as many of those as we could. We would pool our money and end up with, you know, 10, 15 of these discs. And we would go down to Central High School, Muncie Central, Muncie South Side, Muncie North Side, any of the, well, North Side wasn't
say,
around.
Say, man,
then.
You want to buy the Two Live Crew?
But yeah, and that's exactly it. We'd stand outside, school would let out. You want to buy, you know, Two Live Crew CD? Because they couldn't buy it at Walmart. Our local, Sam Goody-like place, whatever it was, I don't remember, and stuff like that, they wouldn't carry it.
No.
The college, you could get it to the college and one other little independent seller, and that was about it.
But see, the Two Live Crew thing is crucial to the anti-censorship argument for one specific reason. Not only did the government try and get it banned, and mm-hmm. in some states such as Florida did, it was illegal to sell that to adults in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't just ban the album. They banned the performers.
Mm-hmm.
Luke, he was called Luke Skywalker at the time until George Lucas sued him to change his name. But so Luke Skywalker actually got arrested numerous times for singing those songs live. Now that's where we're getting into George Orwell territory.
Yeah.
There, I mean, and Ice-T even had a thing during the whole body count controversy. He was told, I think it was Georgia. They said, if you get up on stage and you say fuck in any way, you will be arrested. So he just said, you know what? I'm not even doing a goddamn show then. Then you can explain to the sold-out crowd why I'm not performing. If you're going to censor what I say to fucking adults.
Mm-hmm.
And the Two Live Crew thing, they were checking IDs at the door. The police! So there was no minors whatsoever in the audience where they got arrested for the first time. And the police said, that has been banned. That is considered offensive on a governmental level.
Well, where did
that was censorship of fucking thought and speech, and that angers me.
Where did Jim Morrison get arrested? Because I know he got arrested during a live show for supposedly showing his penis,
which they could never stuck his finger through
the, you know.
Well, that's what the movie showed, because they've never been able to prove whether he did show his penis or not.
Right, but there was
I think that was San Fran?
I don't remember where.
I think it was California, but I might be wrong.
But he was arrested more than once, and not just for that kind of a stunt, not just for a nudity kind of stunt, but for his lyrics. Mm-hmm. And of course,
and a couple of times for hitting a police officer, that's justified. You can't go smacking the cops and expect to not get arrested.
I'm not going to argue with banning hitting policemen. Unless there's a group out there somewhere called Hitting Policemen, then I'll step up and I go, well, you shouldn't ban hitting policemen. But
well, look at what happened to Jello Biafra over the Frankenchrist album. I know you're not a big Dead Kennedys fan, so I don't know if you're familiar with that.
No, I'm not.
Their 1984 album, Frankenchrist, which in my opinion as a Dead Kennedys fan is their best album, was also their last real album, because the next one that came out, Bedtime for Democracy, had all been recorded prior and just unreleased stuff. But it had an insert by H.R. Giger. Not the cover art, okay? The cover art was a bunch of Shriners. But there was an insert on the inside that came with the lyric sheet on the album. of H.R. Geiger. You know who H.R. Geiger is, for those that don't.
Aliens.
Yeah. Alien. He didn't have anything to do with aliens. He actually sued Cameron over that because it said alien designs by Stan Winston in Cameron's movie. So Giger was, wait a minute.
Hang on.
You missed a credit and a check. But and the painting was called Penis Landscape. And it was about 9 rotting penises going into 9 rotting vaginas.
You're lovely.
Right. Well, a 12-year-old girl bought that for her little brother. And on Christmas, they opened it. Well, next thing Jell-O knows, there are Los Angeles and San Francisco police officers knocking down his door. Without him ever even having been called, that image had been declared obscene, and because a minor had seen it, you gotta remember this is prior to the tipper sticker, so a minor could buy any album, he was brought up on obscenity charges for that. And then it turns out during the trial was all about his music and his lyrics and not about the painting. Because the painting was licensed from H.R. Giger, who's a Swiss citizen. The U.S. government couldn't go after H.R. Giger, so they said, we got Biafra, let's try and get something. And it even went so far as the prosecutor saying on camera to the San Francisco News, one of the reporters asked, but you're a fan of Patti Smith. Would those same lyrics be offensive to Patti Smith? And I quote, no, because Patti Smith is an artist. Jell-O Biafra is trash. That's the prosecutor. Do you see a problem with the Jell-O's obscenity trial here, Scott?
It's like, it was one of the Supreme Court judges in the 80s of somebody said, could you define pornography?
Nope, but I know it when I see it.
Exactly. That was his. He goes, no, I can't define it, but I know it when I see it. And
Judge in Jell-O's case was actually really interesting. I mean, he ruled against them in a lot of things, but at the end, when it came back to a hung jury,
yeah,
the prosecutor wanted to try again. Obviously, with a hung jury, they have the right to do that.
Yeah, you can do it.
The judge said, I don't think so. And I quote, we've had enough experimenting with the law for one day. And he shut down the retrial. Even the judge said, all right, we're getting ridiculous here. We're not wasting more taxpayer money on this shit.
We've had enough of that.
But that's why I think the judge, clearly he didn't like Jell-O and whatnot, but even he was, no, I can't justify this as a judge.
So one of the most interesting things that banning an album or a book or something like that can do, and what's hilarious about it is it drives sales through the roof.
Two Live Crew, the week they got banned, record sales of their album went up 400%.
Oh, yeah. And it's a terrible record.
It is a god-awful record. I'm not a rap fan. You said even...
Well, yeah, even as a hip-hop fan, it's just, it's awful. It's terrible. It's pointless. It's... The beats aren't good. The lyrics are substandard at best.
The only things that are good are stolen. Black Sabbath actually sued them for stealing the riff from Iron Man for one of their songs. You know, all the good stuff is samples from better bands.
Yeah.
But then you've also got, I mean, you had all these music ones, but then you also had comic books like our friend Hart Fisher, Veronica Number 4. Not only was that declared legally obscene in Oklahoma, but adults were arrested for buying an adult comic book sold to adults for adults. Do you see the issue here?
No, I don't. It's perfectly reasonable to me, of course. I'm also on the side of the legal team that came down against Larry Flint.
Yeah, sure you are.
Yeah, right.
like the thing with Hart Fisher, and they started going after another one of his books, The Mighty Morphin Rump Rangers. You just smiled at that. Yes, he actually printed a comic book.
I would love to read that, actually, just because that's hilarious. And I'm going to. This is how you lose a lot of fans. I hated the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Always have.
Me too. I couldn't stay. I watched them the night of the day it premiered.
You can say that and you can get away with it because they're just like, oh, it's Josh being Josh again. You know, I say it and they're like, no, wait a minute. Scott has legitimately good taste. What the fuck?
Because the show was shit.
Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, you've got that. You know, there was, well, let's face it. There's been controversy surrounding Hart's work like mad. And
okay. There have been 5 comic books declared legally obscene in the United States in some state at some point. Hart Fisher has written 4 of them. That should say something about the man right there. You know, he is the definition of what the First Amendment is made for. And but he wasn't the only banned comic. There were numerous comic books that got banned that people said, no, 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 such as Boiled Angel. Boiled Angel by Mike Diana, who Hart then hired after the fact because that's who Hart is. Boiled Angel, it was a bad comic book. It was a very amateurish comic book, you know, real amateurish art and whatnot. I mean, I'm not going to defend the artistry of it, but, you know, if that's what you're into, you're into. Not only was that declared obscene, because there was a scene of a priest screwing a little boy in it, he was declared a pedophile. He is a registered sex offender for the comic book. Part of his sentence was he was not able to have contact with anyone under the age of 17 for any reason for 5 years after his conviction. And he worked at a convenience store at that point. So every time a minor came in, Michael Diana had to step into the back room and a different clerk had to wait on that person. So, of course, his job didn't last very long because the employers were like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's the kind of bullshit we dealt with in the 90s. That Michael Diana is the only person in American history that they have ever been declared obscene and prurient for what they drew. And
this is the country of Piss Christ.
Yes. Explain to people what Piss Christ is in case they don't know.
It's a picture of Christ on the cross.
Yeah, it's a crucifix.
Yeah, it's a picture of Christ on the cross. With you know what?
It's in a jar of urine.
Yeah, it's there. You go.
And Christians blew their fucking stacks over Piss Christ.
I mean, you when you get into the fine art world, you get into the real. I mean, that's where the real meat of banning comes, and that's where actually a lot of rebellion comes from. Robert Mapplethorpe.
Yeah. Oh, God, we can't leave out the Mapplethorpe nonsense.
I mean, the Mapplethorpe photos, both his line of gay lover photos and his line of little girl photos. You've got who did the orchids that looked like vaginas? O'Keefe.
But, let's not gloss over
Mapplethorpe. I'm just trying to list some that we can talk about.
I'm not sure of the artist, but there was the guy that made the entire painting out of poop. Remember that being controversial?
Multiple have done that.
There's one where I say you stopped being an artist and you're just being evil at this point. I don't remember the artist. It's a couple of years ago. A German guy, and it wasn't art as like a painting. It was some of that live action art.
Performance art.
Thank you. The word fell out of my head. Where what he did was he chained a dog into a clear glass cube and let it starve to death for 4 weeks. Okay. And that was, him, it's art, and the art police are trying to shut me down. And I'm going, no, you've stepped beyond being an artist at this point. You're killing a fucking animal for art.
Yeah.
No. So, I mean, it's the same thing with, like, Cannibal Holocaust. You know, the movie really killed the turtles and monkeys and stuff for the film, and I'm going, no, that's a monkey should not have had to, three right. monkeys actually for the different takes should not have had to give their life for that fucking scene.
Or the little Japanese cute kitty puppy movie where they threw the kitten off the cliff.
Yes,
all that.
It's like, okay, when you're actually killing something or hurting something else, you are not an artist anymore.
Right.
And I know that's a controversial statement, but art has a fucking limit.
That's one where we would agree. But nonetheless, what I'm going to talk about when I talk about banned art, that performance art of watching a dog starve to death, that to me is not art. That is sickness on display.
It's sadism.
Yeah, it's sickness and sadism on display. But when I talk about band art that is just utterly silly for being band art, Georgia O'Keeffe, she's the one that painted a whole bunch of orchids. And her orchid paintings and orchid photographs looked a whole lot like vaginas.
But see, that you can defend by going, that's what you see.
But you have to, well, that's the thing. Have you ever looked at an orchid? Probably not. You've not been to the botanical gardens, have you? I figured as much. But
fuck off.
They look like vaginas. they do.
Well, and then Robert Mapplethorpe, as you brought
up. Yeah, Robert Mapplethorpe had two series of his photographs. And one that got probably the most heat was the men in various states of dress and various states of making love to other men.
No, it was the specific photos of the finger in the penis, in the head of the penis, which creeps me out, just ugh. The guy with his, the guy getting fisted.
Yes.
And the bullwhip up the ass.
Yes.
Those are the three, really. But here was the awesome thing about Robert Mapplethorpe. Those photos were not meant to stand on their own. They were meant to be a dichotomy with a photo of a lamp in the same or similar position, a flower in a same or similar position, right, or whatnot. It was supposed to be what they called the XY display.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So the photos themselves were not meant to be taken as themselves. They were actually saying something about the photo that they were accompanied with. And that's where the Republicans lost their shit. It's men pissing into the mouth of another man. Oh my God. Yes, but then you also have the photo that it went with was the hummingbird at the same angle getting the nectar out of the flower.
Right.
It's, and there was a dichotomy. There was actual art. And his photos, the lighting and the composition.
Oh, they're gorgeous.
There was art
photos
there.
They are gorgeous photos. And most of them are in black and white, and the texture of them is just
The big controversy came in Cincinnati, of all things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Cincinnati, which I'll bring up again in a minute, where the Cincinnati Art Museum got brought up on obscenity charges for showing the Mapplethorpe exhibit. There's actually a really good TV movie made about it called Dirty Pictures, starring James Woods. It was a Showtime original, so they actually could show the photos. But then Cincinnati's also the place that you can't buy Hustler in Cincinnati. You can't. Hustler is illegal to sell in the city of Cincinnati.
Well, we have to think of the children, Josh.
Because of Simon Lease.
Mm-hmm.
Because of Sheriff Simon Lease, you have to go a couple of hundred miles outside of Cincinnati to find a place that actually sells a Hustler.
Or do you just cross the state into Kentucky and buy it?
You can go to Kentucky and buy it, but I mean, there's like a big buffer zone where no place where they don't want to. I don't want Sheriff Lease coming after me.
Yeah.
So you can't. You know, Cincinnati is a great bastion of. You can't buy that.
So you drive down to the Cincinnati airport, which is in Kentucky.
But
they do sell Hustler because I've been through that airport many times. And they've got the newsstands and the.
There was the scene reenacted in People versus Larry Flint that there was almost dead on to the actual news footage of the occasion where after the second or third issue was banned in Cincinnati, Larry Flint went down there and he bought the newsstand and he sold the issue himself and they arrested him right there on the news cameras for breaking the law. And he fought. He eventually won, ironically enough, on appeal. He lost the case initially, but he, you know, after the Court of Appeals went and they like, all right, people, it's a fucking magazine. You know, they check IDs. Kids aren't buying this. Just back the fuck off.
And that's one thing that's always weirded me out about the U.S. And I've traveled around the world enough to know that I think most of Europe has it right. The stuff that they ban for violence. And the stuff that they rate for adults, they rate because of violence. And they rate because of gunfights and stuff like that. And you're, you know, but if you go in and you tell this really touching, girly love story and people are just naked all the time and screwing like you wouldn't believe, you're still not going to get a high adult rating.
You want to talk about that with the British system? Not just the horror movies of the 80s. Steven Seagal. Mm-hmm. Until his direct-to-video shit of recent years, all his theatrical movies, not one of them has been released uncut in the UK.
No.
They've all required cuts for him breaking bones and, mm-hmm. and things like that. That's ridiculous to me. You can show him shotgunning a guy to the face, but you can't show him bending his arm back the wrong way. I don't get that. But
at least, because I even remember walking through Rio de Janeiro down in Brazil, and on just about every third street corner in Rio, they have these little tiny newsstands, or at least they did in the 80s. And yeah, you had your newspaper, you had your comics, and then right out in the open, right out in front, you had your adult, hey, look, nudie magazines. And they didn't really... I didn't get the no, you're a child, go away. I got the, well, feel free.
you'll seem mature enough.
You'll see it eventually. And look, there's the beach at Rio. There, pictures here, live action basically out there.
Well,
go for it, you know.
We also need to bring up a genre you and I love quite a bit. Video games. The ridiculous banning of video games. And I'm not talking about shit like Custer's Revenge or Beat 'em and Eat 'em, because those, first of all, those were never banned. Those were under the counter, where you had to show ID. That's why those are so rare, and they're fucking awful games. I'm talking about, you know which two titles I have to bring up from the 90s.
Sure.
Name them.
Grand Theft Auto.
90s.
Oh, 90s. Well, Grand Theft Auto.
No, that wasn't controversial. Oh. That was not controversial.
Oh, it was.
No, it was not. I'm talking Night Trap and Mortal Kombat.
Well,
ones that actually had Senate subcommittee hearings on them.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Those are the biggies. Where Mortal Kombat, which, let's face it, by today's fighting game standards, is so fucking tame, Scott.
Yeah. You really can't say. Just how much blood did the Mortal Kombat characters have? Because, my God, it was like Jaws 4. I think that's what the producers of the game and what many in Hollywood and especially in Japanese animation, I think we're just giant water balloons full of blood. the tiniest little prick. Okay, badly worded. The tiniest little poke, and we'll just...
But you had Mortal Kombat was for the violence, and Night Trap...
It was for Dana Plato.
I honestly don't know what the controversy over Night Trap was. Because... First of all, you're playing the hero. There's almost no on-screen violence whatsoever. The girls who are playing teens, yes, but they were all 20-something girls, and they're not even really scantily clad. What was the controversy over fucking Night Trap?
It encouraged voyeurism in a bad way.
You're the good guy. You're protecting the girls in the game.
Doesn't matter. You're still watching them pillow fight in their little skivvies.
But Dana Plato is a secret agent in the game. She's part of your secret team, Scott.
No. If we let...
Sorry if I just spoiled the plot of Night Trap for you. Yeah. She's an undercover agent.
Yeah. Good thing. If there is anybody out there going, damn it, they've spoiled Night Trap, then you need a fucking lobotomy. No, seriously, that's why it was, it encouraged voyeurism. They were afraid that if they let kids play this game, then kids would get their hands on security cameras and set them up, and it would encourage, you know, dads to watch their daughters and blah, 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 blah. We're going to have pedophilia all over the place because of this game. Look at what Dana Plato has done to the world. It kind of blew up from there. But
well, and
the,
you
the
know
whole,
what's really funny about Night Trap?
Sure. Nothing. Nothing is funny about the game. It's awful.
Well, it is awful. But you know what's funny about the making of the game?
Hmm.
That game sold like shit. Obviously, yeah. Until the controversy.
Until the controversy.
But that game was made almost 3 years before it was released.
Right.
Because they thought the game was so bad that they thought it was unreleasable trash.
But yeah, it's the voyeurism aspect of it was what got it into trouble more than anything. And the scantily clad, you know, pillow fights in their skivvies.
Well, and then even going way back to the 70s, You had the video game. Remember Death Race?
Oh yeah, Death Race. Death Race 2000. Yes.
No, because copyright.
I know, but
yeah, it was based.
Death Race, and then there was Death Race 2000.
Actually, Death Race was a ripoff of Death Race 2000, which came first.
Anyway,
what you did, and we're talking. It wasn't even like graphics that you're thinking. You know, that the listeners are thinking of as. Like
no, we're talking Atari.
We're talking. This is one of those games where you had like the little overlay over the rolling background kind of thing, and what would happen would be you'd be in a car and you'd run over pedestrians, and then they would turn into a little cross, like a grave. My God, the shitstorm about that! They're encouraging people to run down pedestrians. Well,
years later, again, back in the 90s, another video game that got banned and. That I've played. It's a great fucking game. It's fun as hell. It's Carmageddon. Same deal.
I'm not familiar with that.
Carmageddon, it was a racing game, raised from the cockpit of your car, and you got points for running down pedestrians for causing havoc in the city. And you would do things like run over grannies, and again, they would just explode because they're big water balloons full of blood.
Well, and then in our last few minutes here, we said we'd talk a little bit about Tipper Gore and the Tipper sticker.
Right.
So back to music.
And it's not just music anymore.
No, but the Tipper Gore thing, a lot of people are so used to the parental advisory explicit lyrics sticker on albums today.
It holds,
they don't even notice.
Yeah, it holds no, it's got no balls anymore. Yeah.
And what happened was Tipper Gore and a bunch of her Washington wives heard... She bought the Prince album, the one with
Rain.
The Purple Rain album for her daughter, and they were listening to it, and there was the song, I think it was...
Darling Nikki.
I was going to say Little Nikki, but...
Little Nikki, Darling Nikki. Mm-hmm.
And there's the lyric about masturbating to a magazine.
Met her in a hotel lobby masturbating to a magazine.
She flipped her shit, and she said, wow. How, you know, parents wow. need to know... Wow. Will you shut up?
Sorry. It's a good song.
Parents need to know what is on an album so they don't buy this filth for their kids. So she decided, because she was too lazy to preview the album for her kid before she bought it,
right,
that she would now police all albums. And she specifically targeted heavy metal groups. Rap was still really underground, so rap would have been targeted had... it been more mainstream at the time. But this was the rise of the hair metal.
Yeah, this came about, you know, hip-hop and that kind of stuff really blew up in, 91, 92?
Right, I mean, it was underground in the 80s, but but she was targeting bands like Wasp and Mercyful Fate and Twisted Sister and things like that. And
Judas Priest.
Here was the thing. Here was the ironic thing. They wanted to go after Prince and Ozzy and Alice Cooper and places like that. But all those were backed by big record companies. You'll notice every one on the Filthy 15 was done by a small company or an independent label.
Yep.
Because those were the ones that did not have the money to fight them in court.
Yep.
It was a very calculated move to get their... to get their label pushed through. And they wanted it way worse than what it got. The record industry eventually settled with them to get the parental advisory. They wanted something way worse, that everything would have kind of like an MPAA system, but like, you know, they wanted a V for violence and, you know, an A for adult, and they wanted an O for occult, which included anything Jewish.
Right.
Anything Jewish was considered occult.
No, anything non-Christian.
Right. Okay, fair enough. And what happened was, most of the bands on the Filthy 15 just kind of went, whatever.
Yeah.
But there was two people. One that wasn't even on the Filthy 15 and surprises the shit that he stood up against censorship. There's two people that stood up against him at the Senate subcommittee hearings. And that was Dee Snider of Twisted Sister, who was one of the targets. And John Denver.
Yeah.
John fucking Denver came out against censorship. And it's like... Huh? What?
Yeah. No, I mean,
I know, but that's a surprising ally to Dee Snider, isn't it?
Extreme circumstances make for very strange bedfellows, but yeah.
And then Frank Zappa was not on the Filthy 15, and he went testified against the censorship. And he actually said he kind of wished he was. It would have helped record sales. He was kind of like, really? I'm not on the Filthy 15, you fuckers.
Damn it.
But here's the thing. One of the albums that they wanted to tipper sticker after it came out, for, keep in mind, warning, parental advisory, explicit lyrics.
Right.
One of the albums of his that got stickered.
Instrumental.
An instrumental album. There was not a lyric on the entire album.
Not a one.
That shows you just how stupid that is, just on a surface level.
Well, was it Steve Vai that also got stickered? It was one of the, it was Steve Vai.
I think it was either Steve Vai or Joe Satriani.
I think it was Satriani that got his stickered, and it was an instrumental album.
Right, and so but then there were other bands like Dead Kennedys, who obviously have been enemies of Tipper Gore for a long time. They actually got a tipper sticker on one of their albums because their album cover was a parody of a tipper sticker.
Yep.
That's how ridiculous this is. There was nothing offensive on the album, but the album cover that they wanted was a parody of a tipper sticker.
And the other weird segment of the music industry that she went after was comedy records. Stand-up yep. comedy and
George
music
Carlin
parody.
Got hit. I mean, George Carlin actually put out a record called Warning, Parental Advisory, Explicit Lyrics. That's
yeah.
one of his albums.
Yeah.
And they went after back catalog, too. They were putting the tipper sticker on Lenny Bruce albums.
Yep.
Lenny Bruce is from the 60s, dudes.
Yep.
Really? They were putting tipper stickers on old Bill Cosby albums. For those that don't know, Bill Cosby was not always family friendly.
Yeah.
Listen to his first couple of stand-up albums that don't get reprinted too often.
He was
dirty.
Yeah, My Car Goes 200 Miles Per Hour, I think, was one of the stories that he told, and he talked about his brother all the time, and
he has an album called For Adults Only.
Yep.
I have it on cassette. So yes, they would go back. The tipper sticker is ridiculous. And here is Tipper, okay, the PMRC had to know that this was going to happen. The tipper sticker became a sales tool.
Oh, yeah.
Albums that previously did not have a tipper sticker, say they'd sell 100,000 copies in a year. Then they'd get re-released after they get re-rated with a tipper sticker. They'd sell 400,000 copies
yep.
that year. The tipper sticker was a, buy this, you will like it, kids.
Exactly.
And that's the great thing. That's the thing I parodied in my Sanity article, was the fact that every time someone tried to ban something or there was controversy, all it did is make sales go up, make viewership go up, it made ticket sales go up, oh. whatever it was.
Well, I remember a New Age bookstore in Muncie that got picketed by concerned Christian parents and afraid that it was going to influence
warp their little children's minds.
And, you know, things like paganism and New Age thought have no place on a college fucking campus.
Yeah,
but
well,
when they got picketed, you had the chief of the Muncie police show up in his civvies and decide to do some shopping. And you had the mayor of Muncie show up and be like, thank you all for coming out. I'm going to go buy some crystals.
your peoples is dumb. And we didn't even talk about controversial movies.
Yeah, well,
of our time. That'll actually probably be a different show. But
that could be something that you and Brad tackle, frankly.
No, I'd actually like to tackle it with you, because you would have a very different perspective than Brad and I would.
Okay.
And I think we should just do a whole show on movie ratings.
We probably should. We should.
On the rating system and how it's changed. That might be a future episode.
Okay, here's your homework, kids. Go out and find yourself a movie, and I think it's still available on Netflix and streaming. If not, there are, you know, various sites on the internet where you can find it. This film is not yet rated.
I was actually really disappointed in that movie, but...
No, regardless of whether you're disappointed or not, it does at least give you an idea of what U.S.
Yeah.
films go through to get ratings and stuff like that. Worth a shot.
Or a really great documentary for our foreign, because so far it does not have a U.S. release, but for our foreign listeners, the Video Nasties documentary, the three-disc DVD set on the video. It's a really, really comprehensive documentary on the video nasty era of
yep.
of England, which we'll talk about that in our ratings episode too. But the video nasties doc, I always go nasty because that's the way they always say it in the thing. So
video nasties. And again, also available on the internet. Anyway, we've got a little bit under 30 seconds. If you're going to shop at Amazon.com to, say, pick up the Video Nasties or whatever.
Which they carry.
Right. Go through our website, 1201 Beyond. Clear your cache. Our website. Clear your cookies. Your website. I call it our website because that's where Lost in the Static is available there. So that's why I call it our website.
But yes, but you use the link. Cost you nothing, and it helps us out just a little bit.
Helps us out just a little bit. And thanks a bunch for joining us, everybody. We will see you next week to talk about politics. Wee.